ministry for 2 years. Sam was one and Emily was about three. The first 6 months were harder than I had expected in ways that I hadn't expected. I knew that it would be a transition to go from a full-time working outside of the home mom to a full-time working inside of the home mom. Oh boy, that was a shock to the system. But what I realized is that for 12 years, I had been known as pastor. That was my identity. And I wrestled with the fact that if I'm not a pastor of a church, then who am I? What is my purpose here, other than raising these children, which was important? But who am I if I am no longer pastor? And I know in talking to people since then, you know, teachers retire and think, if I'm not teaching, what am I? If I'm not in law enforcement, what am I supposed to do? We identify ourselves in pretty strong ways. And now, of course, that the kids are in school, I have a new identity. That is, I'm always going to be Emily's mom, and I'm always going to be Samuel's mom. I mean, some of Emily's classmates I've known since kindergarten, and even now when they could call me Miss Heather, still, hey, Emily's mom, how are you doing? I don't know what that's going to mean when they graduate high school and they no longer need me to volunteer in their classes. I'm not thinking about it. Are you, Aaron? I can't even go there in my head. Oh. Identity. Now, this man today, he has been possessed by demons for years. It's to the point where he lives in the cemetery. He has no friends, no family. He doesn't wear any clothes. He is guarded 24/7, and he is bound in shackles. He is as on the outside of community as anybody could possibly be. Now, Jesus comes over across the sea to get to him. This is not a Jewish community that Jesus and the disciples go visit. There is, in some sense, a sense of Jesus coming into this Gentile community to do ministry there. It's not someplace he would have just stopped on his way at. He gets out of the boat, and the man with the demons comes and begs Jesus, don't send me into the abyss. That is, the demons are actually begging for some grace and mercy from the Lord. And Jesus asks him, what is your name? And the man responds with legion, which is, in the Roman army, a legion was about 6,000 soldiers. Now, I don't know if there were 6,000 demons, but I know that this man was possessed by not one, not two, but a multitude of demons. And did you notice? He led with his greatest affliction. He didn't say, my name is John, and I have a legion of demons. He identifies with his greatest weakness, that which plagues him the most. That's his identity. There are certainly demonic forces in this world. There is addiction to all manner of things. There is mental health issues. There are all sorts of things that plague us. And sometimes we want to lead with that. But we are more than that. Now, it's interesting to me that after the man is healed, you know, Jesus casts the demons into the swine, and the swine rush down and they drown themselves, which seems to be pretty dramatic. Remember, this is a Gentile community, but Luke's audience was mostly Jewish. So they would have heard this story, and they probably would have laughed. They would have made, wait for it, deviled ham jokes. Get it? Came up with that one on my own. They wouldn't have seen any big deal as to why people were upset, but they get so upset with Jesus that they ask him to leave. Luke tells us twice that they were afraid. So I wondered, what is it that made them afraid of this miracle? Because this man had been restored in one word to his family, his community, his friends. He could now function as a person in that community. What made them afraid? I think first there was the economic loss. These were Gentile farmers, and if you lose an entire herd to one man, that's a little scary, isn't it? You know, even now, as we navigate this bold new world of the 21st century, whenever we talk about anything, really, millages, immigration reform, healthcare reform, you name it, there's always the question on both sides, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me? And is there too great of a length to go to that we don't let Jesus in our midst to heal us and our neighbors? I think the second reason they got scared was because the problem in that system was suddenly fixed. If you've ever loved anybody with an addiction problem, with a mental health disease, with any sort of issue, you know that quickly the system functions so that that person is kind of the center, right? We all react according to how they are behaving. Now, I am proud to say that I am the adult child of two alcoholic parents. I'm proud because they've been clean for 15 years now. But when they first got healthy and they got sober, it was remarkable how the entire family had to shift how we acted with one another. Each of my three sisters, or two sisters and I, had very specific roles to play in my family when we were growing up. Right? I was always the hero. I know, no surprise, right? I was the hero. I was the one that made sure that the dishes were done and the laundry was done and that everything functioned and the house was calm so as not to anger or upset my parents, right? When they got healthy, we thought, thank God that this demon of alcoholism has been removed from us. But what it showed us is we all had to learn how to function differently. And even we had healing that we needed to do. We had healing that we needed to experience so that we could behave in healthy ways, not in reactionary ways. This community would have had to have done the same thing. Because if Jesus can heal somebody of 6,000 demons, what else can Jesus do? How else are they going to have to shift how they react to this man who was once sick and is now healthy? And that, my friends, is scary. Because when Jesus comes to heal one of us, Jesus comes to heal all of us. There's no one so sick that Jesus can't heal, including us. Jesus is about the business of pushing us out of our ruts for the sake of our neighbors, so that if somebody is healed in a way that is miraculous, we can celebrate with that person instead of putting our shields up and saying, I'm just fine, thank you. Nothing is wrong with me. But there is. So where have you seen Jesus at work in your life? What is it? What label is it that you might need healing from? What do you lead with when you think about introducing yourself? Hopefully no one says Legion. Although if you do, come and talk to me. What is it that you lead with that Jesus might need to shake you out of? I think there's a reason that he didn't want this man to go with him when they left Gerasene. Jesus needed that man to stay in that community to witness to the power of God, to continue to tell people that no matter what, Jesus can heal you. Jesus, when you think you're too far gone, there is healing and hope, and I am living proof of it. My friends, I pray that God will continue to shake us out of our ruts, and that we will be able to rejoice as our systems and our families get healthier, and that we too get healthier. Amen.